Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Parkcast, and it's National Roller Coaster Day. So we wanted to get a little quick short podcast out to celebrate it. It wouldn't be right, really, would it, if we didn't do that? Now, unfortunately, Alex hasn't been able to make it today, but he has sent us this message.
Hello there, podcast listeners. It's me, Alex the Milkman. I'm so sorry that I can't be there for this month's episode of Parkcast, but I hope you're all having a fantastic National Roller Coaster Day, and I promise you I'll be back in the studio with Becca very, very soon. In the meantime, Andy, keep the chair warm for me. I've heard you're doing a great job. All the best. See you soon, guys. Bye-bye.
So Alex will be back on the podcast next time. We're going to record it really soon, actually. We're going to get that podcast out to you as soon as possible because we've got lots to chat about, including, of course, Alex's massive trip with Sean from Theme Park Worldwide across America. So I really want to speak to him about that and get all the lowdown and find out where we need to go and where we don't need to go and the best bits and all of that stuff. So get a bit of insider info on that. So hopefully we're going to get that podcast out to you next week. But for this week, I've got a very special guest.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.
So yes, Alex isn't here this week, but it's okay because we've got Andy from the most magical podcast on earth.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me over.
Oh, it's nice. This is like podcast synergy, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it just podcast loving in?
Oh, we like a bit of that. If you've not heard of Andy's podcast, it is, as you might imagine, I suppose, a very Disney-based podcast.
Yes, a Walt Disney World-based podcast. And sometimes we touch on things...
specific.
Yeah, sometimes we do touch on things outside of Walt Disney World, outside the Disney bubble on Orlando. Sometimes we'll talk about, dare I say it, Universal.
Oh, is it not a banned word in your studio?
Well, no. We let people, if you're going to go all the way from the UK over to Orlando, you're not just going to go to Disney. We appreciate that there are other places to go. But it's mostly talking about Walt Disney World and not just the parks, talking about the resorts, restaurants, people's memories. We have a different guest on every week and just talk about, you know, the first time they went and how they plan, because you need a degree in planning. If you're going to Walt Disney World and you're getting your 3 fast passes a day and you're getting your advanced dining reservations 180 days before you go, you know, it's somewhere that you need to concentrate. It's all about the planning. If you want to have a good time while you're there, you need to invest the time now.
It's a bit mind-boggling, actually, isn't it, if you've never been before, when you start getting all your bookings through and it's like, right, now you need to book what time you want to ride on this.
Yeah.
And you're not going for a year.
There's nothing worse than, and it really upsets me if I'm in a queue for a ride, say at Magic Kingdom, and, you know, I'm like, okay, this is my fast pass and I'm booking my next fast pass, because you, once you've used your 3, you can book another one for the day. And there's somebody in the queue at the side of me, and like, there's a family with 3 kids going, what's this you're using here? I go, this is my Disney experience. This is where you book your fast passes. And she went, oh, like, oh. And that has happened to me. I've been
really?
In the queue and people have
just
been,
just don't know,
completely
no
way. I'm like, what, you're queuing 3 hours to go on like Flight of Passage in Animal Kingdom, and you could have like 60 days ago had this in the bag.
Yeah, it does take a very organised kind of person, though, I think, to get your head. You can't just fly by the seat of your pants, can you?
No, you can. We had a guest on a couple of weeks ago who, she's been 9 or 10 times and got a last minute deal like the week before and just flew out. And I was like, you know, as a Disney fan who loves planning, which she was, what was it like? She went, do you know what? If you are on it and you know which rides are going to be like really busy, like I mentioned Flight of Passage at Animal Kingdom, which you're still getting 2 or 3 hour queues, but if you get there for Rope Drop and you know where to go, yeah, half an hour, you can be on that ride and then the rest of the park is your own. It's just knowing how to do it.
That's the thing, though. That's what your podcast is all about. So you can check that out, can't you? It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify. Can we get it anywhere else?
I'm sure you can.
Just search
sure, it's
for
everywhere,
it.
Or social at Pod Magical.
Now, Alex would usually do this bit with me, so we're going to utilise you for this, Andy. It's this week's highs and lows.
Okay.
Highs and lows.
So this is the news from theme parks since we were last here. And now, actually, it's been a while since we've done a podcast because Alex very selfishly went round America for 3 weeks. So we are catching up a little bit. So since we've last done a podcast, of course, the massive news has broken about Universal Epic Universe, which I feel like I want to do a big movie voice every time I say it.
You need an
it.
Echo.
I do.
Epic Universe.
Sounds great. now this, obviously, we've just touched on that you do a podcast about Walt Disney World. You touch on Universal Florida as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is going to be exciting for you.
This is very exciting to anybody who loves theme parks, anybody who loves going to Florida. The only thing that I'm not excited about is the fact that they've not really told us anything.
That's
apart
the thing.
From, hey, we're having a new theme park.
and it's literally that, isn't it? I mean, they've got us all excited on tenterhooks, but literally there is no information coming through. There's not really even many rumours about what we're going to see in there. We just know this is the first major park to open in America for 20 years.
Well, not if you say that to Universal, because obviously their last water park, they class as a theme park. It's not. They already said they've got three theme parks. They haven't. They've got two and a water park. Volcano Bay is not a theme park.
Can we just, let's just get that straight there. Hashtag not a theme park.
Not a theme park. Although Universal's Epic Universe, Universal, or whatever they've called it. If you, they did release a map of the park, like with an artist's impression of what it's going to be like. So if you zoom in with detail, you can kind of go, okay, is this Super Nintendo Land is going to be here? Is this a little bit more Harry Potter that's going in here? There's quite a lot of roller coasters that you can see on there.
Which is always great news. We always say on this show, so Alex is very much a theme park enthusiast. He loves the whole experience of a park. I am all about roller coasters. So for me, more roller coasters is always great news.
And of course, over in Orlando, they will be themed roller coasters. Yeah. So you'll both be really happy.
Best of everything. Yeah. But they're probably 4, 5, 6 hour queues when it first opens. But yeah, obviously excited about this. Going to carry on following this as it develops and as we get more news on it. So for now, that's just it. But it is a high. Certainly the fact that there's a brand new theme park being developed. We don't hear about this kind of thing very often, do we?
And they've got so much land. If you have a look at the amount of land they've got, I think they've got twice the amount of land for this park than they've currently got for the two existing parks. If you have a look, because I know they're going to build new resorts around it as well. But I think once this is opened, it wouldn't surprise me within, 10, 15 years' time, there is a fourth theme park down there as well, because there's a lot of land that they bought.
And we can only hope so. It's only good news for us enthusiasts and theme park fans. And it means when you're making the trip over to Florida, it's just even more to see, isn't it? It just makes that flight cost even more worth it. A little bit closer to home, another good news story this week, the Flamingoland 10 Inversion Coaster. It has finally got its planning permission. It's definitely going to happen. There are signs which have gone up around the park. And it's being built by Intamin, who build Colossus at Thorpe Park. It's another 10 inversion coaster, a bit like Colossus. The rumour is it's actually a roller coaster that was built for another park, didn't manage to ever get used. The park went into administration, so this roller coaster's just been lying there dormant. Flamingoland have bought it.
Waiting.
And shipped it over
to
the UK.
Do we know what was the other park that went into
it? It was a park called Hoppy Harry in Brazil.
Okay.
So this roller coaster has just been sort of built and waiting to be ridden for a long time. And it's going to be called, it has got 10 inversions on it. So imaginatively, they are calling it Inversion.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 10.
No.
Ben 10.
They've had one of those at Drayton Manor.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, no. No, it's going to be called Inversion. So, that is under construction at the moment. I'm sure if you live up over that way, you can follow that progress on that. Obviously, lots online about it as well. And then finally, now this is quite prudent for you, I think. There's a news story out this week about Disney and its park attendance dropping.
Yeah.
For just about the first time ever, it's dropped by 3%. And the question is, have Disney finally put their park prices too high?
Well, I think they have intentionally put their park prices too high. Because if you notice with this report, theme park attendance is down. But in terms of revenue, revenue is still up. So if you've seen the prices of the annual passes for Disneyland in Florida, they shot up ridiculously earlier on this year. And same year before for Disneyland. But I think that's intentional because I think the crowd levels were just so high, they could either go, okay, we'll stop people coming in. That's not going to happen. So maybe we could charge more. It won't affect revenues, but maybe just put a little people off. But also you've got with that as well, I think the fact that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is literally about to open is a week on Thursday, I think it opens in Florida. And then you've got Rise of the Resistance, which is the new ride that then opens in December. I think people have just kind of like taking the foot off the pedal a little bit, especially coming from the UK, because, well, most people don't go a few times a year. Maybe I'm not quite in that.
I think you and Alex Crump are in the same boat there.
But you know, if you go in, sometimes it's a once in a lifetime trip, and sometimes that once in a lifetime trip becomes every other year, maybe. But if you know that Star Wars is going to be opening, and then 2021, Disney will be celebrating its 50th anniversary, and there's a lot of changes going on at Epcot, I think a lot of people might have gone, okay, let's just not go for a year or two and make that magical trip, maybe 2021. So I don't think Disney would be worried. The fact that the revenue is still high, theme park attendance is down a little bit, I don't think they'll be panicking about that. I'm not saying it was planned.
They always want to see their their attendance going up, I would imagine. But the main thing, if it's like any other company, is that black line at the bottom.
Yeah, but I think, again, it depends where the attendance comes from, because if you've got regulars who live in Florida, the Florida residents, they will go to the parks, but they won't spend as much as people who are coming from Europe or Brazil, because when you go there, you're spending more on food because it's your holiday. You buy more merch because it's your holiday.
More Mickey Mouse ears.
Whereas you've got people who go maybe every weekend because they're pass holders. They're not spending as much in the parks. So I think putting the price of the passes up might deter people who would buy those passes, but it's not deterring people to come on holiday and, you know, stay in the hotels and eat on property.
And obviously, like you said, with Galaxy's Edge opening, people are going to hang on for that. And once that opens, there's bound to be a massive influx.
Yeah, you would think. But I think they've carefully planned this. The fact that it opened in California first, and then it kind of is opening in Florida, but then the other attraction is opening in December. And the fact that it's opening in the end of August, September, when schools go back. So that's not going to have an impact on crowd levels. I think this is all intentional of not having too many people coming at once, because I think the worst press they could have is day one of Star Wars Land and people are queuing 20 hours. They're queuing from the terminal at the airport all the way to get in. And people go, oh, look, it's crazy. Disney can't cope. There's just too many people. Yeah, crowd levels go down and people go, oh, look, Disney, crowd levels are going down. I think Disney are a big enough company to know what's going on. I think this is all part of the plan.
And when are you next making your way over there?
I will be over there on the 30th of October, which means I can do the last Halloween party on actual Halloween.
Oh, exciting.
It's going to be crazy. I've never actually done the Halloween party. And then obviously the week after, on the 8th of December, is the first Christmas party. So I can do Halloween and Christmas.
Two parties all wrapped up in one trip. You planned it.
It is. And the first Halloween party in Magic Kingdom is actually tonight. Yeah,
is
I know.
It?
Yeah, middle of August is when Halloween starts. I've got a friend who's there at the minute and she's been sending me loads of photographs. All the pumpkins are up around the parks.
I can't even deal with it. I was in TK Maxx the other day and all the Halloween home decorations were out and I was like, nah, that's too early. And Alton Towers, obviously, they've got all their Scarefest stuff and preview excitement building stuff in Tower Street at the moment, but it's too soon for me. Come on,
though,
2 months.
Things like with Halloween and Horror Nights and over at Alton Towers, I think they become more and more popular every year that they just have to start earlier because there's no other way of doing it. You go, okay, it's Easter, so let's start Halloween. April, Halloween is here.
Let's just do all year round Halloween.
Which is then where they're limited with Christmas, because obviously the Christmas parties are brilliant. But because of the time constrictions, because literally as soon as Halloween's finished, then you're straight into Christmas. So you can't really expand Christmas.
No, and you can't drag it on after Christmas because no one wants Christmas.
No one wants Christmas. Valentine's Day.
No. Well, that'll be very exciting for you. That is this week's Highs and Lows
podcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.
So it is National Roller Coaster Day today. It is in the enthusiast calendar, a really important day. It's a real shame Alex couldn't be here today, but Andy's with us. So I just thought we could just have a quick chat about how you kind of got into all this, because obviously you're a massive Disney fan. Would you say you're just a Disney fan, or are you generally a theme park roller coaster fan as well?
I am a theme. I love Disney, but I do love a theme park and I do love a roller coaster. I remember going to Blackpool Pleasure Beach with a group of friends when I was about 15, 16. And it was the first time we'd had like a proper day out. We got to go to Blackpool on the train and we just spent the day at the Pleasure Beach. And I remember the first ride I went on was the Revolution. It doesn't seem as crazy now looking at it. Still just as painful though. And I just, from that moment on, that adrenaline, I was petrified. I was looking at it, but all my friends were going, yeah, it's just a roller coaster. You know, it's really cool. But deep down inside, I was like, oh my God, I'm petrified to go on this. You know, there's that first moment when you go on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
My parents weren't into theme parks and roller coasters, so they never took me on as a kid. You know, they never threw me on at the age of 9.
So you just hadn't had that experience of it, that feeling of what it was going to feel like.
So I'd always seen them and then that was it. And then I think the following year was when the big one opened at Blackpool.
1994.
So, yeah.
25 years ago.
So every year, Blackpool was the place to go and that's where I got into it. And then obviously Alton Towers, because I used to live in Stoke-on-Trent. So having Alton Towers half an hour away and having that Merlin pass was great. It's like, what should we do today? Oh, Alton Towers.
Just pop to Alton Towers.
Especially when the schools had gone back. Especially like on a Tuesday morning when the schools were back. Best time to go to Alton Towers.
That is the thing, isn't it? And there's not many benefits in being an adult, generally. But I think being able to go to theme parks during term time is definitely one of them.
Yeah, and that's why I like to go to Florida when, you know, it's not summer holidays. It's cooler and there's not as many screaming kids there.
And also it's a lot cheaper.
And it's a lot cheaper. Just go when it's the cheapest. But I'd say now I'm more of a fan of the theming of a park.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned that Alex was a fan of this as well. In fact, yeah. Alex has been on the podcast.
Yes, he has.
Episode 2, if you want to listen to Alex talking about Walt Disney World. But yeah, it's especially with Disney, it's the way they theme it. My favourite ride is Expedition Everest.
Yeah.
Over Animal Kingdom. And to look at it as a roller coaster, it's not a big, crazy roller coaster. It's great. But the theming of it, I think, is it still the most expensive roller coaster in the world? But that is not because of the actual track.
It's just because of everything that went into it.
Everything that goes around it with, you know, the Yeti that doesn't move anymore. Disco Yeti, they call it, because they've got a strobe light on it because it can't move anymore. But just the theming of that and the fact that you're on this little train that's going through the Himalayas and the detail in the queue, you know, the fact that the Disney Imagineers went on this expedition to the Himalayas. And if you have a look at photographs, a great person to follow is Joe Rohde,
right,
who's a Disney Imagineer. And he goes on a lot of fact-finding missions. So the photographs that he took on that fact-finding mission, side by side with the queue ride for Expedition Everest, you're like, oh my word, this is not just, oh, it'll probably look like this. Which is what I think a lot of people don't understand.
No,
unless they've been to a Disney theme park.
And if you also haven't seen that picture side by side, you might think, oh yeah, maybe it's a bit like this in on the way up to Everest, but the fact that they've gone to that level of detail anyway.
Yeah, I'm more of a fan of a theme park than an amusement park, and I think there's a real difference in
that. There is, and I think Alex and certainly Sean from Theme Park Worldwide would totally agree with you on that they are very much theme park fans, and they like that whole immersion into an experience. They like dark rides for that reason as well, where you really, you know, you are totally immersed in it. And actually they've done, like I mentioned, Alex went off to America for a few weeks with Sean, and they went touring around all these parks. I think it was 22 odd parks in the end that they went to. And all their vlogs are up on the Theme Park Worldwide YouTube channel at the moment. And we'll get Alex talking about this on the next podcast, because the one that really struck me was a park called Silver Dollar City, which is the sister park to Dollywood.
Oh, right.
And yeah, and that is probably, your reaction to that is probably what most people's reaction is. Like, I might have heard of Dollywood.
Yeah, really I've definitely heard of Dollywood.
Go and look at that vlog. That park, in terms of theming and immersion, is next level. And it's just, you know, it's a random park in America. It doesn't get talked about in the UK outside of enthusiast circles. But, I mean, Alex and Sean were waxing lyrical about it through the whole vlog. And it looked amazing. You know, it was beautiful and everything was perfectly themed. And they didn't have fake shop fronts there. It's all sort of Wild West themed. They had an actual blacksmith there and they had an actual furniture maker there and these random things. But again, it's that whole immersion into a different world. And that's, I think, how a lot of people do get into theme parks, because it is... I've got a job and it's stressful and I've got a home life and I've got stuff going on in my life. And actually, if I can walk into this world for a day
and forget about everything.
Yeah, just leave all of that.
I'd say especially more with Disney as well, because they've got this policy that everything at Disney, whether it is the theme parks or the hotels or the cruise line, everything has to look day one new. So even though Disneyland in California is, 67 years old now, something like that, it still looks as clean and as new as it did on that opening day.
Wow. You know,
there's no little chipped bit of paint on a wall. If there is, it'll be painted over. There's a chair that's broken, it's gone and it's replaced. And everything just looks so new and so clean. And obviously you've got the sunshine.
Yeah, I mean, and that always makes a huge difference to it. I mean, a massive undertaking though for a park to keep it at that level. But I suppose when you're Disney, you've got that ability to do it. The other one, which I think is probably worth mentioning to you, and I've not been to this park, but I'm going at the end of September in Holland, is Efteling. So again, that's a massively themed, immersive park over in Holland.
And not that far away.
Not that far away. We're going to go on the boat to Calais and drive up, I think, and it's about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the channel. Fairy tale world, all the rides really heavily themed. Everything's totally immersive.
Is this the one that's slightly a rip off of Disney? Has they got a fake
castle?
It's
not a rip off of Disney.
Is this the one I've heard about that's a little bit of a rip off?
there was some chatter about it in the press a couple of weeks ago, where it was like suddenly a load of people discovered that this park existed and they were like, it's like Disney, but really cheap. And it's not like Disney, because you don't have any of those.
Mickey Mouse is not there.
No, he's not there and you can't buy ears. But it's its own theme and it's its own very immersive sort of experience. I'm really looking forward to going there. So that's the thing. Obviously, Disney is the king of these themed parks, and you don't get anywhere that really compares to it. But then it's amazing, actually, that there are these other little parks that you don't always get to hear about, which are doing their own thing as well.
Especially if you are, because you're not aware of them, you don't know too much about what to expect on the rides. Because this is my big downfall, is that if I'm going somewhere new, I'll have a look at videos of it on YouTube.
I think that's the downfall of all of us, yeah, isn't it? It's definitely an enthusiast downfall.
But I remember, like, the first time I went to Disney, because there was, well, there was YouTube, but it wasn't as intense as it is now. So you go in and you don't know what's around the next corner, what's around the next loop, or, you know, what inversion it's going to take, or what it looks like. But now it's like, oh yeah, I'm ready for this. I'm looking forward to it for a completely different reason. But to go somewhere new and going, okay, we're going to go here, I'm going to go on all these rides, and I know what they're called, and I've got an idea what will happen, but I don't know second for second what twist or turn is coming next.
And actually, a lot of these parks don't let you take on-ride footage as well. So you can't spoil it for yourselves in advance. And actually, that's probably one of the things that Alex would say as well, is that there was a lot of chatter on these American blogs. And like I said, on the next podcast, we're going to chat to Alex about this in some massive detail, about how they sometimes seemed a little bit disappointed with some of the rides they were riding. And, you know, he would admit that that is because they watched these videos so much, and you've kind of hyped up a ride, I suppose, in your own head. And when you get there and you ride it, it might not be exactly what you were expecting. Yeah. And then it is a disappointment.
You built up that anticipation.
Yeah. So it's a difficult one. We all want to do it. We all want to sit there on YouTube, I think, and go, oh, let's just see what it's like to go on that ride that I can't get to because it's in Japan or it's in on the west coast of America or wherever. But it is that whole, when you do get there, have you bought it for yourself?
And exactly, we're talking of that, the brand new fireworks at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party that opens tonight.
Are you going to watch it?
So I'm going to try and not watch it for the next 2 months. What are we, August, September, October? Yeah, I've got two and a bit months. And also there's new fireworks coming to Epcot be there. So it's like, okay, maybe I'll just get rid of YouTube.
Yeah,
delete it. Delete
YouTube.
Put
the parental controls on it for yourself.
Yeah. If I just switch to a dial-up internet connection that I used to have back in the 90s, then we'll be fine. I can't watch it anything on YouTube.
But it is National Roller Coaster Day. I hope whatever you are doing, if you've managed to get to a park, I hope it was a great day out for you. This has just been a little mini podcast, and we'll do Alex's full review of his big American trip on the next one, which will be out very soon. Andy, from the most magical podcast on earth, there is just one more thing I need you to do.
What's that?
Podcast. Just Gotta Ride It.
So this is Just Gotta Ride It. It's the part of the show where we ask our guests or someone in the studio to tell us about the ride that just, you've got to pick one ride in the whole world. So this, it might not be your favourite, but if it's like you've got one ride left ever that you can go on, you've got to make it this one.
It's the one that I've already said, over at Animal Kingdom, Expedition Everest. And I know that I could ride this over and over and over and over again, because one night we did the late night magic, or whatever they call it, where the park is, there's literally nobody in. And we were on that ride. We got off it. We got on it again. There were more cast members waving to us. We were the only two people on Expedition Everest. I must have gone on about 6 times in a row.
Yeah.
So why everybody pays for that ticket just so they can do Flight of Passage? We were just doing Expedition Everest over and over and over and over again. Because there's a little bit in that ride that just gets your stomach.
Oh, really?
And every time it gets me.
A little bit of air time.
And I always go, I just do this weird little that can only be explained by that noise.
But what is it about that ride?
Again, it's the theming, and it's that little moment. It's just that, it's the anticipation, because I know it's happening, but I just still love that moment, that just that little feeling, that little bit of airtime. Yeah.
I can't wait till they get on-ride video on that ride and we can actually see that.
It's just like that.
Andy, thank you very much. You release a new podcast every Friday?
Yes, every Friday.
Podcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.